We're taking our Bible reading from the Old Testament and the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 36. Now our reading is a little long this morning, but do not despair. You'll still be out at the right time. When I went to Bible college first, I had absolutely no idea even how to construct a sermon. But I was told one thing that always stood me good. If you haven't much to say, make sure you've plenty to read. So that might give you an indication. We're reading from Jeremiah chapter 36 and verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah. Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore go thou, and read in the roll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the word of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury of the Lord hath pronounced against this people. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book words of the Lord in the Lord's house. It came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, to all the people that came from their cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber. And lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama, the scribe, Deliah the son of Shemaiah, Elnathan the son of Akbar, and Jeremiah the son of Shaphan, Zedekiah the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Yet Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard, and Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, Take in thine hand the roll, wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch the son of Neriah took the roll in his hand, and came unto them. They said unto him, Sit down now, and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were afraid both one and other, and said unto Baruch, We will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, Tell us, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Barak answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Barak, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went in to the king into the court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. It came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was at the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan, Deliah, Jeremiah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. We'll end our reading there, and God again will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. And I'd like you to open your Bible there with me, please, at Jeremiah chapter 36. And what we read in verse 23 is what we will focus our attention upon this morning. Speaking, of course, of the king, and it came to pass that when Jehudi read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was in the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the hearth. That is, the king cut it with a penknife, and he threw God's word in the fire. That is an amazing story of a monarch who did not follow in the footsteps of his father Josiah, because the Bible speaks about good King Josiah. And when you read of Josiah, you will read that he followed the Lord. But sadly, his son did not walk that pathway. And when it came to the word of God, he had absolutely no time for it and despised it and rejected it, cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire. You and I can learn vital lessons as we look at the characters that we find in God's word. Now back in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we read that Jehoiakim reigned for 11 years as the king in Judah. Verse 5 of 2 Chronicles 36, it says, Jehoiakim was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. That, of course, was not his original name, because in the previous verse of 2 Chronicles 36, in verse 4, we read, and the king of Egypt made Eliakim, his brother, king over Judah and Jerusalem, and turned his name to Jehoiakim. He was an individual who is marked, first of all, by covetousness, something that the Bible says we should not be. His life was also marked by self-indulgence. One of those individuals who, probably because of his position and power, became very self-opinionated. When you look at his conduct, he was a monarch guilty of gross acts of violence and awful oppression. One of our Bible commentaries says this, that few rulers of Judah have passed from the pages of history to eternity so loaded with scorn. Now, among his various crimes that he had committed, that which he is most remembered for is this particular incident here, where he takes out a penknife after listening to God's word being read before him. He cuts it up in pieces and he throws it in the fire. You would say, what kind of a character would do that? But then, we have to ask ourselves, when we hear the message of God's word, what do we do with it? Now, we wouldn't take out a penknife, and we wouldn't cut it up, and we wouldn't throw it in the fire, but do we hear it and heed it, or do we hear it and just leave it? Sometimes in looking at the characters of the Bible, if we focus upon certain of their events, it shows us right into the heart of the individual and what they really were. You see, what you and I believe will determine how you and I behave. We want to look at the behavior of King Jehoiakim, the son who did not follow in his father's footsteps. Now, it's always disappointing for anybody, especially those in Christian circles, when their offspring do not necessarily follow in their footsteps. That can be hurting and grievous. That's how it was with this individual. Now, as we come to look at the man who cut up the Bible, threw it in the fire, King Jehoiakim, I want you to notice three simple things. First of all, the word that was revealed to him. You see, in the opening two verses of Jeremiah chapter 36, we read, it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations, from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. So what we have is this. We have here the word of God that the prophet Jeremiah, who is often identified as the weeping prophet because of the sins of the nation, and he received a message from God. He was instructed to put it into writing. That's what you have in your hand. In other words, he was given the then Bible. You see, the Bible that you and I have in our hand is the Word of God. It has been dictated by God. It was put into written form. What a privilege to have God's Word in written form. in our own language. And yet with that comes a tremendous responsibility, because heaven, God's word, written in our own language, leaves us with no excuse if we reject its message. And when we look at the scroll of Jeremiah, we are reminded of certain truths about the Bible, the message of God. First of all, that message that Jeremiah was given was an inspired message. Verse 1 says this, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. It wasn't the figment of his own imagination. It wasn't what he thought up. It came down. God spoke to him and told him, write this down. Jeremiah heard God speak. Then he had his personal secretary, Baruch, write down the message that God had given to him. As Jeremiah dictated it, Baruch wrote the message down on a scroll, putting it into written form. But always remember this, that though it was written down by mortal man, it was God's message, God given, God dictated. God was the author. Jeremiah was the mouthpiece. Baruch was a scribe. So it is with God's word today. Now the Bible is a book transcribed by human hands. It is translated by human instruments. It is printed on printing presses made and worked by human beings. Yet we must never forget that the Bible is a book originated from God. It is God-given, God-breathed. It's the infallible, unerring, inspired, indestructible Word of God. Everything that book says is infallibly true, and everything that book says will come to pass, as it did in the days of Jehoiakim. You see, we could say today that the Bible, why it was written by Moses and David and Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, and Peter and Paul and many others, yet each letter was given by the Almighty. Each sentence was dictated by the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah's message to the king and to the nation was an inspired message. God said this. And so it is with the book in your hand. That is no ordinary book. Nor is that book to be treated like any other book. Friend, if you believe its message, if you accept its author, you will find that your every heart's desire will be fulfilled, and the greatest desire of all, that of one day being in glory. But sadly, like Jehoiakim, many don't like some things they read in the Bible. They do not do as that haughty monarch did and cut it up with a knife and throw it in the fire, but they'll set it aside. Or they will not take heed to its message. You hear God's word, have you heeded it? Was not only an inspired message, but it was an informative message, because in verse 2, we read this, take thee a scroll of a book, write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee. You see, the message that the prophet Jeremiah received on that occasion was that which God spoke concerning Israel and Judah and all the nations. It was a word that was very, very revealing, very, very informative. God was informing them that he was going to use the Babylonish captivity as a chastisement against God's people for their sins. The Bible is a revelation of God himself. One Bible commentator says this of God's word and its message. It is a living book, and in reading it, we come into contact and communion with him who is Lord over all and blessed forever. It is a book that unrolls the panorama of creation, a book that gives us a picture of Christ, a book that gives us the philosophy of salvation, a book that gives the facts of sin and the truth about the Savior and our need of him. And just as God's word informed King Jehoiakim and the nations around him of coming judgment, the Bible so informs you and me of our state before God, our sinful nature, as all have sinned and come short of his glory, but also reminds us that there is a Savior from all sin. It informs us. And this is part of its message that some people don't like. It informs us of a hell that we should shun and of a heaven that we should seek to gain. And even as God's people, if we want to know God's mind on certain matters, we find it in this book. Because this is God-given, God-breathed, God-inspired. I read the story of a collector of rare books, and he visited a friend of his who had thrown away an old Bible. It had been in the family for years and just sat there, so he disposed of it. He happened to mention it to his friend, who was a book collector. And he asked him, well, was there anything particular about it? No, he says it seemed to be printed by somebody by the name or someplace by the name of Gutten. He said, you mean Gutenberg? Ah, he said, that's the name. He said, you fool. That was one of the first Bibles ever printed. Would have been worth £300,000. He says, not at all, not this one, because some fool had written all over it. And even put his name on it, someone Luther. He said, Martin? Well, he said, that would have even increased its value more. A friend, you can't put money in the Bible. That is God's revelation of himself to you and to me. It's the greatest treasure that anyone will ever have. If you believe that message in that book, it'll keep you out of hell and it'll get you into heaven. And so this message was revealed to the king of the day. But there was not only the word that was revealed to him, but then the word that was rejected by him. As you continue to read through the whole chapter of Jeremiah 36, you will see that Jeremiah not only had Baruch write down the message, but he had him go into the temple and deliver the message publicly to the people. That's what we are to do with God's word. Then a young man by the name of Micaiah heard the message, and he rushed to the king's house and he informed the princes what he had heard. Finally, they told the king of the message. He told them to bring in the scroll. He told them to read it to him. And here we have Jehoiakim's reaction. You see, folks, there's always a reaction of some kind to God's truth. You see, in religion, it's different than anything else. Politically, you can be what you want to be. You can be on the right, you can be on the left, you can be up the middle. But religiously, there's no neutrality. You see, we are either in Christ or out of Christ. We are saved or lost. And there will always be some reaction in our heart to the Word of God and its message. And we note here the king's reaction. First of all, the Bible tells us there in verses 22 and 23 that he destroyed the Bible. He cut it up. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month. And there was a fire in the hearth burning before him, and it came to pass that when Jehudi read 3 or 4 days, he cut it with the penknife, cast it into the fire in the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was in the hearth. Now there were those who pleaded with him not to do it. But he was determined to destroy this message. So when he heard the message, that was his response. He threw the whole thing in the fire. Friend, what is your response to the message of God's word? What do you do when you hear God's word? What do you do when you read God's word? Now, of course, history tells us that many have been cutting out and burning portions of the Bible for centuries. And folks, that's why I personally am against modern translations such as the NIV, because you will discover that there's over 200 verses left out of it that's in this book. You see, the story of Jonah. They say it's a myth. The account of creation, that's regarded as a fable. The virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is dismissed as unscientific, and the resurrection is declared to be an impossibility. Many have been trying and are still trying to destroy the message of this book. Friend, this is a vital message. It's a saving message, a redemptive message. Believe this message, you'll never go astray in your life and you'll never be lost in eternity. You see, Jehoiakim is not alone in trying to destroy the message of God's word. Down through the centuries, this book has been burned and has been buried. The kings of the earth have set themselves in array against it. Even the rulers of the church have sometimes taken counsel how to melt down its message. I read that the Roman Emperor in 303 commenced the most terrific onslaught that the world has ever seen against the Bible. Every Bible possible, he had it destroyed. He put to the sword a multitude of God's people, and a monument was erected over an exterminated Bible with the inscription, "The name of the Christians has been extinguished, but God's word still lives." You see, the king tried to destroy it. But he wasn't dealing with any ordinary book. He was dealing with God's book, and God says, "My word shall never pass away." He says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away." But why did he cut it up? Why did he throw it in the fire? Well, he disliked what he heard. Now, if you go into a sacred pulpit and preach and preach and preach and preach about heaven, and it's a wonderful place, everybody believe that. But don't tell us about hell. That's obnoxious to our modern mind. Friend, if I was passing through your district in the middle of the night, you, your wife, your family, sound asleep in your bed, you're unaware, you're unconscious of the danger that you are in, you will be burned to death. And I have a decision to make. It would be sinful, shameful, to disturb those people in the middle of the night so I can pass on by, leave you in your sleep, let you be burned. Or I can come up to your house, I can break in your beautiful glass-stained door, I can awaken you out of your sleep, I can tell you to flee from the wrath to come and get you out and save your soul. Am I your friend if I do the latter or do the first? Preacher, tells you there's a hell and you need to flee from the wrath to come, that preacher is your friend. And this book is your friend, and the Lord is your friend, because he said you're to flee from the wrath to come. But Jehoiakim didn't like the message. So, he disposed of it. Maybe you're here today and you've known the message inside out, you've heard it, but what have you done with it? You see, the thoughts of judgment, the thoughts of eternal wrath, why, that's obnoxious to many. Don't. And so, like Jehoiakim, the message is despised. But one last thought, folks. Not only was the word revealed to him, and then that same word rejected by him, but thank God it was repeated to him. You see, had we read on, we would have come to verses 27 and 28. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, take thee again another roll, and write in it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned. You can reject the preacher, but God's word will stand forever. It reminds us of a simple truth, folks, that this message is indestructible. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25 says, the word of the Lord endureth forever. We may not want to think about it, but it will one day catch up with us. And you know, folks, when you think of it, the Hitlers of this world are dead and gone, and the Caesars of this world are dead and gone, and the legions of Rome are mouldering in the dust, and the pride of the pharaohs of Egypt is fallen, but the word of God still lives. Cannot be destroyed. And if we have had the privilege of having a written word in our own tongue, in our own hand, in our own home, The message of this book can save your soul. To die without Christ, the book will stand in judgment against us. We read in the Old Testament where Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live forever. Oh, the importance of God's word. You should not reject its message. You should accept its author as your savior. It cannot be destroyed. And something else, folks, just in closing. It shouldn't be doubted. What the Bible says is God's word. And the Bible says God is not man that he should lie. And I pointed out before that there are things that God cannot do. You see, God cannot change. And God cannot lie. And the Bible says that God's word is forever settled in heaven. And though Jehoiakim burned the Bible because he didn't like its message, what was proclaimed in the message still came to pass. Just because somebody doesn't believe it doesn't alter it. But what God says, because in verse 1, Jeremiah 39, in the 9th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the 10th month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem and besieged it. See, what God said was true. What God said would happen. Therefore, God's word cannot be denied. It should not be doubted. And what God's word says to you and me about our salvation and about our sin, you and I should accept. You see, the Bible says, and with this we'll conclude, you must be born again. And because God said it, you and I must be born again. Yet the big question, friend, is this: have you believed his message? Are you born again? We should not be like Jehoiakim, the man who wouldn't follow in his father's footsteps. The king who ultimately despised the message of God's word and cut it up and threw it in the fire. To reject that message, you do it at the peril of your soul. And to reject that message is to lose your soul. The Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Believe it and enjoy it. What is your response to the message of God's word?